The State Council of the People's Republic of China released a long-awaited blueprint of the Greater Bay Area in February. Companies are eager to find out the business opportunities arising from the initiative. To learn more, we sat down with Professor Michael Enright, who led a recent research on the GBA. Hi, Professor Enright. Welcome back to AmCham Hong Kong. The Greater Bay Area is now the buzzword in southern China, but economic integration or economic interaction between Hong Kong and the Pearl River Delta region has been in place for 4 decades at least. What is new in this initiative?
You're absolutely right that if we start with China's economic opening, of course, the major portion of it in the early days was in what was then called Pearl River Delta, a portion of Guangdong province, and tightly integrated with Hong Kong. And there have been many efforts over the years to foster greater economic interaction between Hong Kong and the rest of China, and Guangdong in particular, including in 2008 a document by State Council on the region as a whole. But there are a number of things that are different this time. First, the level of development in the region is much, much higher than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So you have in many ways a lot more of a market in the PRD cities, much larger economies, much more of a market, but also much more capable in terms of the business activities that they can engage in. That's one difference. But another difference is the fact that this time around, when we're talking about the most recent State Council document, the outline development plan for the Guangdong, Hong Kong, Macau, Greater Bay Area, is that we have not just a document, but we also have a portfolio and a small leading group attached to it, which is chaired by Han Zhen, a member of the Standing Committee of the Politburo of the People's Republic of China. So really, for the first time, we have a very, very senior official from China who is in charge of the efforts to promote further regional development and interaction within the region.
Yes, as you emphasize that the interaction between mainland China and Hong Kong, Macau, while maintaining their separate systems, it is also irrelevant to apply Hong Kong's rule-based system, such as the rule of law, to the rest of GBA. But how can the 9 mainland cities and Hong Kong, Macau have a coordinated mechanism to implement new policies and to identify new opportunities? Does that mean ultimately the China system or socialism with Chinese characteristics will prevail at the end? Because as you just mentioned, it is headed by the Vice Premier Han Zhen, and ultimately the central government will have the final say. In this regard, people have, especially people in Hong Kong, have skepticism of the GBA. Is this the plan of the mainland China, by the mainland China, and for the mainland China? What's your view on that?
Okay, well, there are several questions packed in there. One is, it's not irrelevant that, you know, if South China were to adopt systems and standards similar to Hong Kong, in my view, that would help South China and would help the regional economy. But the issue is that I don't see that happening anytime soon. So while on the margin, particularly, for example, when it comes to trying to set up commercial codes, dispute resolution, arbitration systems for the Greater Bay Area that more reflect international standards, which are similar to Hong Kong standards, there is movement in that direction. But we have to look at the GBA plan for what it is. The GBA plan did come from State Council through National Development and Reform Commission, but it's had significant input from Guangdong, from Hong Kong, and from Macau. And the document itself, in many places, recognizes the status of Hong Kong and Macau under the respective one country, two systems, acknowledges the different membership in the WTO, Hong Kong's own membership in the WTO, as well as Macau's, and makes commitments to continue one country, two systems. What's interesting to us and what we think is going to be important economically is that the combination of the policies promised in the outline plan which do raise the possibility of greater openness for Hong Kong companies, Macau companies as well. The policies associated with trying to attract Hong Kong individuals, including tax policy support programs for Hong Kong entrepreneurs in the GBA, that these create new opportunities. And we don't need to have full integration in order to have improved interaction, even with Hong Kong and Macau retaining their distinctive status. So yes, there are some people in Hong Kong who say this looks a lot like a program to either encourage Hong Kong to integrate further into the mainland, or that it's designed for the advantage of the mainland portions of the region. But if we look at the documents and the plans in particular, there's a lot of give and take. There is a lot of discussion of becoming more open to Hong Kong individuals, Hong Kong companies. There are additional opportunities afforded Hong Kong individuals and companies to take advantage of mainland support programs. And there is no specific requirement for any particular individual or company to participate. So the program can exist. Those in Hong Kong who choose to take advantage can choose to do so. And those who choose not to are free to choose not to.
As you mentioned, there is enormous opportunity for Hong Kong in the GBA. But does that mean Hong Kong's economic growth will be more reliant on the mainland development? And how can Hong Kong maintain its competitive edge as the freest economy in the world while identifying new opportunities in the region? Because the capitalist system in Hong Kong has been around for more than 150 years under the colonial British rule, and the five-year integrated plan specifying the GBA is something new to the Hong Kong system.
Okay. The GBA plan, as it is written, again, is a central government document which does commit to maintaining one country, two systems, and to maintaining Hong Kong's separate system. So to me, the big opportunities are associated with the economic size of the region. Today, the GBA as a whole has a GDP around 1.6 trillion US dollars. This is expected to grow to around 3.6 trillion US dollars by somewhere between 2030 and 2035. And what this means is basically a doubling of the market that is immediately accessible for Hong Kong companies and Hong Kong individuals. For a long time, one of the disadvantages that Hong Kong has had is that it didn't have a local market in order to sell its goods and services. So basically what we're seeing is a doubling of the local market for Hong Kong to sell its goods and services. In addition to that, there's nothing in the GBA plan that prevents Hong Kong companies and individuals to selling their services and goods globally. So it provides additional opportunities to create, really for the first time, a true domestic hinterland that Hong Kong never had before, while not reducing Hong Kong's opportunities in the global market. So in terms of Hong Kong's competitiveness, yes, cities in China are getting better. In the region, cities like Shenzhen and Guangzhou are getting better. But Hong Kong, through one country, two systems, has a free flow of information, which is increasingly important, free flow of capital, freer flow of individuals, etc. It has, international standard commercial law, rest of the legal system. So it still has the advantages, many of the advantages that it's had since China started to open up. And those don't go away until such time as China opens completely. And we think that that's well off in the future. So in our view, the GBA program provides additional opportunities for Hong Kong in the domestic China market. It provides additional opportunities for Hong Kong and Hong Kong people and companies to connect the growing GBA market with global markets in both directions, goods and services coming into the region, as well as goods and services going out of the region. And at the same time, while again, it may increase competition in terms of other cities in China are getting better, That's always going to be the case. And that's a good thing. You know, if we stopped and thought, which is better for Hong Kong, to have a surrounding region that is closed to the rest of the world and stagnant, or open to the rest of the world and vibrant, everyone I know would say that the open to the rest of the world and vibrant for the region is a much better future for Hong Kong than the opposite.
As you just mentioned, that Hong Kong has tremendous opportunities in the Greater Bay Area development because of the market size of the Chinese economy. But that doesn't seem to be a big draw for those young Hong Kong talent to work and live in the Greater Bay Area. And because of that, the Greater Bay Area municipal governments are even offering cash to lure talent from Hong Kong and Macau to come work in those nine mainland cities. But according to a survey conducted in 2018 by Path of Democracy, a think tank in Hong Kong, only 13% of the respondents, that is people aged between 18 and 29, are only willing to work and live in other nine GBA cities. I think one of the reasons why is that young Hong Kongers are not really used to the way of life on the mainland. For example, once they cross the border, they can't access WhatsApp or Facebook unless they climb the wall. What would you recommend to both the mainland and Hong Kong authorities for young Hong Kongers to have more interaction with, for example, local GBA counterparts?
Okay, well, there are two different things in your question, and one has to not make the mistake of confusing them. The one thing, the first thing, is what are the economic opportunities? And the economic opportunities can be exploited without large numbers of Hong Kong young people deciding to live and work outside of Hong Kong. They can be explored by companies, by individuals who are based in Hong Kong, who travel out to the region to serve clients and then return, just as the huge increase in Hong Kong's GDP since 1997 has largely been served in that way without huge numbers of Hong Kong people going across. So that's one issue. There is a separate issue, and that is the desirability of Guangdong and the PRD as a place for Hong Kong people to live and work. Hong Kong's present population is about 7.3 million people. Already, nearly 600,000 Hong Kong people do live in Guangdong province. Some of them come back to Hong Kong for work or school, some of them don't. But that's, you know, nearly 600,000 people. If we look at the policy moves in recent, just the last 2 years, the decision to eliminate the work visa requirement for Hong Kong people working in Guangdong province, the decision that under certain circumstances, Hong Kong people working in Guangdong will be taxed at Hong Kong rates rather than Chinese rates. Some of the support programs that you mentioned, all of these are movements towards making Guangdong and the Pearl River Delta cities in particular more accessible to Hong Kong people. Okay. Having said that, it is a separate system. Most of Hong Kong youth are, you know, grew up in Hong Kong. They have limited exposure to the rest of the region. And so it's not surprising that people with limited exposure to the region, which does have a different system, which does have issues associated with legal systems, civil liberties, information flows. It's not surprising that large numbers of young people are not, you know, clamoring, you know, saying, yes, we'll go across the boundary to live and work.
This concludes our discussion with Professor Onwright. Thank you for listening to AmCham Podcast.